Can y'all?
Yes, sir.
Amen. But one of the things that the Lord talked to me about was 2022 will be the year of more of the same.
Yes. Amen.
And one person come to us, my wife and I, and she told us, she said, I really don't want that. And we said, well, then praise God, aren't you glad you can change it?
Yes, sir. Amen.
But I mean, no, more healings, more victories,
yes,
all of the things that we've been enjoying.
Amen.
But there was some very strong things that he spoke personally to me about. And he began to talk to me about the walk of love, John chapter 13, a new commandment, different things. And he said, this year, the adversary, there will be many adversaries at the door all year. And there's going to be different things that's going to try to draw you into a fight. And what they're doing is looking for a legal opportunity.
Yes, sir. Amen.
See, a lot of people think that God's in control. If he is, he's got stuff in a crazy mess.
Yeah. Amen.
God's running the church,
yes,
not the world.
Amen.
Satan is the god of this world system.
Yes.
Jesus said so.
Yes. Amen.
When he was tempted in the wilderness, there were three temptations. The devil said, all the power of the kingdom's been turned over to me, and whomever I will, I give it. If you will bow down and worship me.
Yes.
If they weren't Satan's to give, he could not have tempted Jesus with them.
Yeah. Amen.
So many of you know the earth is the Lord's, but the system, Adam sold out.
Yes.
And so stuff that comes to us, we thank God in even the worst of stuff coming, that as we walk with him and trust him, it will turn around.
Yes, sir.
But we're thanking God for the trouble, but we're thanking God in the midst of trouble.
Yes.
We stay with him, we're going to come out on the other
Amen.
Side.
Amen. Hallelujah.
But to accuse God of sending calamity and trouble to teach us, mm-hmm, he's not that kind of teacher.
Amen.
Even, I think America is the greatest nation, country. I personally do. I was born here. I like it. And I thank God for it. We are very patriotic about it. But even our nation has some flaws. You know, but even with our flaws, how many of you know there are laws of the land that if you teach children by burning them with a hot iron or put their hand in the door and slam it, they'll put you in jail.
Yeah.
Even
yeah.
with people making laws that ain't saved.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
How dare someone accuse God that he does that with his kids?
Amen.
So we're Amen. Thankful here. We know God's for humanity, not against humanity.
Yeah.
Amen. this evening, or these next few services, we're going to cover, this book here is by Kenneth E. Hagin. He was our spiritual father, moved to heaven in 2003. Jesus appeared to him several times, but one of the things that he talked to him about is he said, if you're going to ever live in health and prosperity, you're going to have to get the love walk.
Yes, sir.
And it's a lot of things more than what we know, but God's helping us get the revelation of it.
Amen.
My wife sent some books ahead. We've got several here. And I would encourage you, if you want one, how much are they, hon? They're $15 a piece. And you say, well, I don't have 15. If you don't have 15, we'll give you one. Are you with me?
Yeah.
It's just that important. But if you want a book before we start tonight, raise your hand, Brother Clint. Some of these people will get them for you. All right, we got a lot of hands. We're going to take a moment because you'll need to follow along. You'll need to highlight them, things like that. But this book, we have some people at the church at Pawnee. How many times have some of them read them, you think? They told us. I think Jennifer told us she's read it 3 times already. And she said it's changed our life. And so in that, it's just real important. If to teach this book, I would need to be here probably 6 months. But you can take it with your Bible and in your quiet time, and over a course of a few months, you should be able to cover it and get it. Did everybody get one that wanted one? Okay, we ran out. Okay. Here's an extra one here. Amen. And if you guys want to follow along and mark them and things like that, we'll be on this tonight, in the morning, and tomorrow evening. Amen. All right. Now, also, I have some land in Louisiana that I know I'm playing. Okay. Okay. If you got your Bibles there, like for you, if you would please open them up to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 13. And we're going to look at that verse in the Message Bible. You remember when we were here a couple, three times ago and we taught about faith, hope, and love. Remember that? So we're still after that in a way. Now, everybody that's got a book, before we read 1 Corinthians 13, if you would, please turn to page 188 if you got your book there. Or you can write notes about it if you got your book at home. Page 188. We'll pray and we'll get right off into it. Father, tonight we love and thank you and praise you. We thank you for the opportunity to come. We thank you, Father God, for the things that you would give to us. You would give us utterance to say. We'd be very careful, sir, to give you all praise, glory, and honor. It's not something we are able to dream up, but this comes by revelation. But we thank you, any revelation always comes back to the precious Word of God, because the Spirit and the Word always agree. So we thank you for helping us. We thank you for the things you have revealed to us. We count them precious. We value them. But then, Father, also we thank you for the things, as we have counted them precious and cherish them, then we set ourselves up for you to reveal more to us. We thank you for it. We give you all praise, glory, and honor for it. In the mighty name of Jesus, everybody agrees, said amen, please. Amen. In the book, page 188, it says this, second paragraph from the top. You see, the Bible says, it is the entrance of God's word that gives light, and that's Psalms 119:130. And when you walk in the light of that word, you receive the results, the benefits, and the fruit thereof. Brother Hagin says, I've been in the healing ministry for nearly 60 years. I believe he had completed 67 before he moved to heaven. But I had been in the healing ministry for nearly 60 years. I know from experience that so many Christians fail to receive their healing because they're unwilling to straighten things up with others. They are unwilling to rid their heart of anything that isn't right with God. We'll read on down in just a moment. And my wife and I were talking about it at the room this afternoon. And we both think it was 1995. Now, it could have been in 96, but we think it was 95. We were doing a meeting in a little Assembly of God church in Oklahoma. And a man, the Lord actually gave a word about somebody here with bad knees. And an older gentleman at that time, he came down and he could just barely go. And he said at times he could only walk 8-10 feet and he'd have to stop and sit, get some relief, and then he'd go again. And when he come down to the front, the only thing we know to do is lay hands upon people. And as soon as we laid our hands upon him and touched him, the word of the Lord come unto us saying, he's holding unforgiveness against his ex-wife. Well, you don't say stuff like that publicly. You don't want to embarrass nobody. So we whispered to him and said, and called him by name, brother, called him by name and said, if I heard right, the Holy Ghost seems like, if I heard right, said, you're holding unforgiveness against your ex-wife. He said, I am. And he said, but if you could you pray for me? Now listen, see, others, to pray for someone when there's something going on that's not right in the area of the love walk, yes, will hinder their faith,
yes,
and make them think that the healing of God is really not available. And so we said to him, we said, and I got this from Brother Hagin. I said, you know, God will heal you on credit. I got this from Brother Hagin. He said, what do you mean? I said, if you will tell me or tell God, because he said, I can't, he said, I'm willing to forgive her, but I can't get to her. She don't live here. And I said, when you get a chance, will you make it right? He said, I sure will. And as soon as we touched him, he got two brand new knees. And his daughter still attends our church. And that was 27 years ago, and he still has two brand new knees. And how old is he now? He was 60-something in. He's 80-something now, almost 90s. And still has two brand new knees and still walks just like a young man. What we're going to read in these next three services and from the scripture in this book will begin to explain why a lot of times when people in a local church, a disease gets in, that they never get healed. And it is never God's side.
Yes.
Amen.
To ask God to do something that he's already provided,
yes,
is a James. And a James says you have not because you ask not, or what you do ask is amiss or it's wrong.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Yes.
Amen. How many of you know salvation has already been provided for humanity?
Yes, yes, sir.
Has healing? Then should I ask God to send healing? And when we'll get into all of this and show you. Now, how many of you, besides me though, have ever been sick?
Yes, sir.
We all have, I'm sure. So don't feel bad like, well, I shouldn't be sick. No, thing of it is, we're growing all the time. We're going to get to a place where we're never sick ever again.
Yes. Amen.
Are you with me? Yeah. Don't feel bad if you're sick, have been, or sick right now. How many know? The healing of God belongs to you.
Yes. Amen.
And if you've been after it and hadn't been able to get it, I believe we'll get some answers. Amen. This weekend.
Amen.
Amen. All right. Now, so here he goes on. It says, sometimes they need to forgive someone else, but sometimes they just need to forgive themselves. So how many know it's good to forgive others?
Amen.
And you got to forgive yourself.
Yes.
Some folks will forgive others, but not themselves. But they have to forgive themselves in order to walk in health.
Amen.
And then he says, believers need to understand how much ill will and animosity will hurt them. It can affect their spiritual growth. It can cause their prayers to be hindered. And it can even make them sick.
Amen.
Okay, now 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 13, Message, please. It says in the Message, but for right now, until that completeness, we have three things to do to lead us toward that consummation. Trust steadily in God. Hope unswervingly. And then what's the next one?
Love extravagantly.
Love extravagantly. And the best of these, of the three, is what?
Love.
Is love. Of course, the King James says, there are three things, faith, hope, and love, correct?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
The Message Bible says, for completeness. Now, I mean, you know, all three of these things has to be mixed.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Now, I'm gonna jump ahead and say some things, but then we'll go back to it a little bit later in the service. Sometimes people think, and I'm talking about our family, the family of God, they think faith confession is all it takes. They think a prayer of faith is all it takes. But yet the Bible says there are three things that have to be mixed. What are they? Faith, hope, love. What is faith? It is trust in God. But remember, there's different types of faith in the world. And Jesus said in Mark 11, have the God kind of faith. Correct?
Yes, sir.
So what type of faith is the God kind? Or may I say it this way, how do you get the God kind of faith? From the Word and believe the Word.
Yes.
Correct? All right. What is hope? Bible hope, not natural hope. Bible hope.
Earnest expectation.
Earnest expectation. It's responsibility to build images based on the promises of God into your soul.
Yes.
Correct?
Yes.
Then, what about love? Where does it play with faith and hope? Faith is a manifest. Remember Hebrews 11:1? Now faith is the substance of things hoped for. What will your faith give substance to? What your image is. Correct? What you hope for. But what's interesting, faith and hope both are dependent on love, because they are not energized or activated until they are mixed with love.
Amen.
So if I fall out and I hate you, or someone does something to us and I get upset with them and I refuse to walk in love toward them, that means my faith will not work. It's not I don't have faith. It will not work. According to Galatians 5:6, it says your faith, and the Amplified, we'll read it later, energized and activated by love.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
So when people say, they have the confession sheets. We do. You know, they'll have them on their refrigerator or something, or mirror or something, and they'll quote the things. I'm the head, I'm not the tail. I'm above, I'm not beneath. And then they'll quote 1 Peter 2:24, Matthew 8:17. He himself bore our sickness, carried our diseases, and then Peter, by his stripes we are healed. And we will confess all of those things, but then people do stuff to us, and we get so upset we won't talk to them no more. Uh-huh. And we wonder why the faith confession is not working.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Amen.
Because faith and hope are totally dependent, have to be activated and energized by love.
Amen.
And they all three have to be mixed. So now you see why the devil constantly tries to drag you into a fight. Abraham, an Old Testament man who could not have been spiritually alive because Jesus hadn't died yet, had enough about him, understanding that he prospered to a way after the Lord appeared to him and told him he would do certain things for him, told him to leave the land of Ur, Chaldees, to a place he would show him. He said, I'll make your name great, I'll make you rich, all of the things, and he did. And the land couldn't sustain his animals. And Lot's herdsman had a lot. Lot had a lot of animals too, because he walked with Abraham.
Yes, sir.
Are you following me? He didn't necessarily walk in the blessings. He associated with Abraham.
Amen.
And so their servants got to fighting, and Abraham run out there and said, sirs, Lot, we can't have fight. We can't have strife.
Yes, sir.
It will kill the increase.
Yes, sir. Yes.
In the body of Christ, why is it that so often people will hold on to something until something bad has happened, and then we want to fix it? Thank God we're still alive and we can fix it. But why be touched with calamity or disease?
Yes, sir.
Why not fix it now?
Yes, sir. Amen.
Yes, sir.
So, let's go just a little bit further. So the Lord spoke to me personally, and he said, 2022, more of the same. Everybody say, more of the same.
More of the same.
Now, I'm going to say something. I really thought we'd be over the corona, you know, COVID. I thought we'd be over it. But then he began to talk to us last year before we got to December, and he said, 2022, more of the same. And I thought, but listen, how many know, we still can walk in divine health.
Yes, sir.
We still, it was our best year we've ever had financially. The best. Some people say, well, we had a really tough year. We had some tough times in 2021. But it was still our best year.
Amen.
Are you following?
Yes, sir.
So it doesn't mean it's going to be a bad year. But this stuff is going to linger, hang around. Brother Hagin told us as students, he told us over and over, if you've listened to some of the things Brother Smith Wigglesworth prophesied before he left, he said there would come a great healing revival to the world, not just America, to the world, before the second coming of Jesus. What would there have to be on the planet for there be a great healing revival?
Great sickness, amen.
A lot of stuff medical science can't touch.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
Yes, sir.
But the church ought to not be looking at it fearful.
Amen.
Amen.
We ought to keep ourselves in a place where this stuff don't come near our house. Yes.
Amen. Hallelujah. Glory.
But the church, I'm talking about our family,
yes,
is talking so much about whether we should wear a mask or not, instead of by the stripes of Jesus we're healed. I'm not going to talk to you because you took the shot, or you won't take the shot. So I'm going to...
Yes, sir. Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
You see how slick the devil is.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
If you feel like you should take it, take it. Amen. If you feel like you shouldn't, don't.
Amen.
But we are going to fellowship around the Word of God.
Amen.
Are you with me?
Because
we are brothers and sisters in Christ.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Amen.
These are the four things that God gave Brother Copeland. And if you've listened to him or saw his banners, this is what they are. Correction, direction, protection, perfection. Correction, look at somebody and say, I like correction. Amen. Correction, after correction, what comes?
Direction.
We're going to read this in the book. Direction, then everybody say protection.
Protection.
And then after that, what is there?
Perfection.
Perfection. Listen to this. I'll give you the definitions to all four. Correction, and I'll go slow, but we will capture it, so it'll be available in the recording. Correction means a change that makes something right, true, or accurate. That's correction. A change that makes something right, true, or accurate. Direction. Instructions that tell you how to go, or guidance for actions or conduct. Direction. Instructions that tell you how to go, or guidance for actions or conduct. Protection. The state of being kept from harm, loss, or damage. Protection. The state of being kept from harm, loss, or damage. Before I read perfection, I'm going to tell you this. A few years ago, the Lord told me, he said, quit singing to me, not to where we go, to me. He said, quit singing that song. I'm going to the enemy's camp, take back what he stole from me. He said, don't sing that no more. I said, okay, why? Not being rebellion, I need to know. And he said, you're telling people that I'm prospering you. I said, yes, sir, I am, and you are. He said, what do you call that? I said, well, to increase means it's an acceleration of accumulation. He said, if you keep doing stuff that the enemy is allowed in, and he's able to take your stuff to his camp, and you have to keep going back to his camp to get your stuff, and it took 6 months to go get it and bring it back, when you get it back to your camp, you do not have increase at all. You're back equal to where you were 6 months ago. And you do that year after year after year. He keeps your stuff part of the time, and you keep your stuff part of the time. So he said, how about we learn how to not let the enemy come and take nothing? Then it starts accumulating and piling up. Last word was perfection. A preparing or a fixing to bring to completion or maturity. Look at two people and say, I'm maturing in love. Now we'll read it after a while. What is the nine fruits of the Spirit? What is the very first one?
Love.
Remember Romans 5:5, hope maketh not ashamed, because we know the love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. Is that correct? And we know we have the peace of God. We're long-suffering of God. All of those things came as characteristics of God. When you and I got saved, the Holy Ghost brought all nine of them into our human spirit.
Yes.
Now, did we get all of the love? It's called the fruit.
Yes.
What does fruit do?
It grows.
It grows.
Yes, sir.
Why is it that so often, I'll give you an example for me, why is it that we was successful in love, and then something would blow up, and so would I.
Yes, sir.
The only way love will grow is to have an opportunity to exercise it.
Yes.
So if I always blow up in bad situations, once I finally settle down and ask God to forgive me, I have not grown. I'm at the exact place I was before the thing happened.
Yes, sir. Amen.
So the only way to get it to grow is in hard places, do what the Word says and act like you love them.
Amen.
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 And not tell nobody your secret prayer request.
Amen.
Now, the reason I'm telling you this is so that you can pray with me. But do you know what Sister Bertha, better than you, did to me? Now, if your name's Bertha, I'm not talking to you. So when you ask God, Lord, I desire to grow in love. Guess what's fixing to happen? There's going to be a lot of opportunities.
Amen.
There are going to be opportunities. So if you would, go to 2 Peter chapter 3, please. 2 Peter chapter 3. Look at about verse 9, please. 2 Peter 3, 9. And we'll do this one in the King James, and then we'll do it in the Message Bible. King James reads, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering, not to usward, not willing that what?
Any should perish.
But that?
I
want to ask you a question according to this verse. What is the will of God concerning humanity? Anybody perish?
No, sir.
Then why are there so many perishing?
Amen.
Yes, sir.
And
yes,
people say, we don't know why, but God had a plan. Yet he told us his will is not one perish.
Amen.
Amen.
Not one.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
How many of you know or would believe that God is the most powerful being that we will ever know about?
Amen.
I truly believe it too. Is God strong enough to make me or you do whatever he wanted?
Yes.
You better know it in a minute.
Yes.
But will he?
No.
No, sir.
Why? Then when crazy stuff happens, why don't I be man enough and stand up and say, God didn't send this. This had to be choices I made.
Yes.
Amen.
Either a lack of knowledge or wrong choices.
Amen.
Yes.
Because God doesn't want nobody to perish.
Amen.
You got that in the Message Bible, please? Or I got it. I can read it here. He is restraining himself on account of you. There it is. Thank you. Don't overlook the... Oh, that's verse 8 and 9. 9. He is restraining himself on account of you, holding back the end because he doesn't want anyone, what?
Lost.
He's giving everyone
space and time to change.
So look at two people and say, he's waiting on us to change.
He's waiting on us to change.
He's waiting on us to change.
Yes, sir.
How many of you besides me have been hard-headed?
Yes, sir.
Got quite a few folk in here. It's honest.
Yes,
how many of you men know your wife has your interest at heart, but you struggle when she tries to tell you what to do.
Yes, sir.
And they're not really coming after us. They love us. They want to help us. I ain't got one man say amen yet. The ladies are all sitting there like, thank you, honey, for helping me. Go with me, if you would, please. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 11, please. Everybody doing okay? All right. Proverbs 3, please. Let's look at verse 11 and 12. Do y'all have the easy read version? Awesome. Proverbs 3, 11 and 12 in the easy read. Thank you, sir. My son, don't reject the Lord's discipline, and don't be angry when he
corrects you.
Remember in Hebrews 6, it says, whom the Lord loveth, he what?
Corrects.
But what's the word it used, King James? Chastens. Corrects. Chastens. You know, when we as kids, we grew up and we thought it said, whom the Lord loveth, he maketh sick. But we were taught. Back then, we were taught that if you were in a bad car wreck and almost got killed, they first thing out of most people's mouth, what was it, honey? God trying to get your attention. Really? Yeah. And how many know? It wasn't our Father God's trying to get our attention. It was the devil trying to literally kill us. So he says, my son, don't reject the Lord's discipline and don't be angry when he corrects you. The Lord corrects the ones he loves, just as how many of y'all have children? How many of y'all ever corrected them?
Yes, sir.
Do you love them?
Yes, sir.
Absolutely. You want them to do way better than you did.
Yes. Amen.
Amen. Go to 2 Timothy 3:16, please. 2 Timothy 3:16. And we can do this one in the King James. He'll pull it up for us. Thank you, sir. 2 Timothy 3:16. The Lord... Oh, that's still Proverbs. Okay, you ready? All Scripture is given by
inspiration
of God, and
is profitable for doctrine.
Doctrine simply means teachings. Okay, what else?
Reproof.
For correction.
For instruction.
Tell me, how's God going to correct you and me?
Through the Word.
Thank you.
Yes,
how?
The Word.
With the Word. Tell everybody the Word.
The Word.
Not calamity.
Amen.
What are you and I redeemed from?
The curse
of the law. Tell me what threefold is. Spiritual death, sickness and disease, poverty and lack. Tell two people, I am redeemed from those things. Then if I am redeemed from them, God would never use them to teach me.
Amen.
There's a vast difference when God allows something and God sends something.
Yes.
People have read about Saul, and it says that God sent an evil spirit. He went to a lady that was a, what do you call them? Yeah, soothsayer, fortune teller, medium. He went to her and different things. And after that, if you've read, this thing starts harassing Saul. And he says, I don't really know what it is. So he said, I need a minstrel. And he asked for David.
Yes,
David would come. The anointing of God would come. He would get relief.
Yes, sir.
Remember that?
Yes, sir.
Well, it's interesting that most people read that and they think, well, God used the devil with Saul. There's some in the church that still believe that.
Yes, sir.
Folks, the devil is a direct enemy against God. He tried to raise a revolt in heaven against God.
Yes.
He got kicked out. God created hell and his followers. The book of Isaiah says so. No human should ever go to hell. There is every way possible to miss hell and make heaven. So if anybody goes to hell, it's not because God wanted him to. He has made a way for us to go to heaven. He has made a way for us on planet Earth to live as the children of God.
Amen.
So how's God going to correct this according to that scripture? With the word. Tell two or three people, God won't use sickness and calamity to teach me. He will use the word of God. If you got your book there, if you would, turn to page 194, please. I'm going to take a little bit of time, and I'm going to read this story to you. I'm going to quickly tell it to you, and then we'll actually read it. Brother Hagin and Sister Aretha were out in, I think it was the West Coast, and they were preaching, and there was a licensed, ordained minister, husband and wife, and they had a child. I think she was 3 years old, and began to develop epileptic seizures and mentally almost retarded. They had prayed. They were of the denomination that believed in the infilling of the Holy Ghost, healing, things like that. And they had prayed, had people lay hands on the child, everything, and to no avail. And their ministers. Brother Hagin, Sister Aretha was on their way to a meeting. And they called and they said, Mom, she said, I can tell when my daughter's getting ready to have these seizures. There's certain things, the way her body begins to respond. And they called him and said, would you please come? He said, normally I don't, but he said, I checked with heaven. They said, go. And on the way there, he's driving. He said, and we're going to read it. He thought somebody was sitting in the back seat and said, when you get there. Now, I'll quickly tell you this. This lady had told Hagin, I hate my mother-in-law. She's an ordained minister.
Yes.
She said, I hate my mother-in-law.
Yes.
And she had made the adjustments and said, I realize now I don't hate my mother-in-law, but the way her mother-in-law treated her, she said, I realize it's just my flesh wanting to rise up.
Yes.
And so, but she's a Christian too.
Amen.
She's a child of God.
Yes.
Maybe some of the things she said she shouldn't, but that's not my department. And she had made the adjustment. So they're driving. He thought somebody's in the back seat. But he said, I know it wasn't audible because Aretha didn't hear it. And he said, when you get there, do not lay hands on the child. Do not pray for the child.
Yes.
But tell the mother, you are now walking in love. And she, when he got there, this is what he did. He told her, he said, ma'am, you're now walking in love. Command the devil to take you. His hands off your child. He said, fast you snap your fingers. She spun and said, in the name of Jesus, I command you to leave. Instantly, the child was completely delivered, and they're trying to been getting her delivered for years.
Yes, sir. Amen.
And see, sometimes people confuse faith and laying on of hands and stuff.
Yes, sir. Yeah. Amen.
And the child was instantly delivered.
Yes. Amen.
Brother Hagin saw him in 1991. All of this is in this book at one of the camp meetings. And he said, how is the daughter? Of course, now she's grown. She said, there was only two times or three that this thing tried to come back. But she said, since it's legal, all we had to do was say, no, we're walking in love and you can't come. And they instantly had to go. There was no fight.
Yes, sir. Amen.
This is why he's looking for a legal entrance.
Yes,
to touch your money, your body, your health.
Yes, sir.
Yes.
Amen.
Because if it's legal, you can say, in the name of Jesus, I command you to stop, and it won't stop. Because he's not there illegal.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Amen.
The name of Jesus works.
Yes,
sir. Amen.
So, let's start on page 194. My wife and I once had a meeting in the western part of the United States. A young couple who were in the ministry went out to eat with us after the service. The woman said to me, "Brother Hagin, tonight you quoted the scripture from 1 John 3:15. Whosoever hateth this brother is a murderer. You know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him." And I said, "I sure did. I plead guilty, this Brother Hagin." When I quoted that verse, the Spirit of God inspired me to add, "That means mother-in-law too." She said, "But I hate my mother-in-law." Here she was, an ordained minister, and she said that she hated her mother-in-law. I said, "If you do, the Bible says you're a murderer and you don't have eternal life abiding in you. God wouldn't tell you to love your brother. That means mother-in-law too, if it were impossible to do so." I knew this Brother Hagin. I knew she really didn't hate her mother-in-law, but I wanted to get her located so she could see herself in the light of God's Word. Everybody say the light of God's Word, please.
God's Word.
You see, just because I realized that she didn't really hate her mother-in-law, that would not help her.
Yes.
If I see biblical prosperity, that won't help you.
Amen. Yes.
If I see healing, that won't help you.
Yes.
That's why we go over and over. Yes. You have to see it.
Amen. 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 Amen.
See, we're not trying to convince people to believe like us. We're trying to convince people to look at the Scripture and take it as their guide.
Amen. Amen.
I knew she was saved, filled with the Holy Ghost, and she loved God. But I knew she was letting her head get in the way, and she was letting her flesh dominate her. So I said to her, "Look at me in the eye and say, I hate my mother-in-law. And at the same time, check down in your spirit. The Bible didn't say the love of God is shed abroad in our head."
Yeah, amen.
It said God's love is shed abroad in our hearts or our spirit. That's why I told her to check down in her heart. She looked across the table and said to me, "I hate my mother-in-law." I said, "When you said that, what happened in your spirit?" She said, "There's something in my spirit scratching me." I said, "I know it. That's the love of God in your spirit trying to get your attention. The love of God is trying to constrain you so you'll love like God loves." She asked, "What should I do?" And Brother Hagin said, "You're going to have to act like you would if you did love your mother-in-law, because really you do love her."
Yes.
Now drop over, if you would please, to page 198, third paragraph down. And then in your book, if you want to, 1, 2, 3, actually it's the fourth, if you would write correction, things God give Brother Copeland. This will explain this correction. A few days later, this woman invited my wife and me over to her house. She also invited her mother-in-law and her family. She came over to me and said, "You were right. I don't hate my mother-in-law. These folks are Christians. They love God." I was just operating the natural, and I let my emotions get a hold of me. I let my natural reason and my flesh dominate me. The love of God is in my heart. I love them. They're wonderful people, and they love. And after talking to that young couple, we learned that they were trying to believe God for their little girl's healing. Their youngest child had had epileptic seizures since she was 2 years old, and they had taken the child to the leading specialist. The specialist said, "This is the worst case of epilepsy I've seen in 38 years of medical practice." And not only that, but the child seemed to be mentally retarded, and her coordination wasn't right. And the only reason this is happening to the child is because mom hated her mother-in-law.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Years ago, I'd got upset traveling about some stuff and some of the ministers where we preached. And said, you know, if we'd calm down and do this and that and the other, they'd have us back. And so I was like, I don't want to go no more. And so the house we built in the country, My wife was coming down the stairs, and it was their wood treads, and she slipped. And her, which leg was it, hon? Right leg? Left leg? Folded back up underneath of her, and she rode that down the steps all the way. And it swelled up and became very tender, and then she began to get red streaks, right? And went to the doc, and the doc said it was cellulitis. And we're like, oh. And he said, no, it's not old. With the red streaks, he said, if this gets in her blood, I have to take her leg off right here. And that was all caused by me. Amen. By getting mad.
Yes, sir.
And not wanting to go preach.
Yes.
The devil can't touch us.
No.
He'll try.
Yes, sir.
But if we're legal,
yes, sir.
He can only attempt to. But you can stop him every time.
Amen.
Do you really believe there's that much power in the name of Jesus?
Yes.
You should.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Do you really believe there's that much power delegated to you as a child of God?
Yes.
You should.
Amen.
Do you have access to the very throne room of God?
Yes, sir.
By
Amen.
Them folks, there is nothing that is not subject to that name.
Amen.
This has to be taught.
Amen.
You say, well, Brother Ricky, I've messed up. Well, join the rest of us.
Amen.
I haven't always done it right. Join the rest of us. But be willing to ask God to forgive you and be willing to forgive yourself. So he says, sometime later this couple called me and asked me to come pray for the child. And he, this is when he's going to talk. He said, now I want you to listen very carefully to what I'm about to say, because it can mean the difference between life and death. It can mean the difference between how long you live and whether or not you get healed. This is on page 199 in the book. The Holy Spirit said to me, don't pray for the child. Don't lay hands on the child. When you get there, say to the mother that I said, under the old covenant, I said to Israel, walk in my statutes, keep my commandments, do that which is right in my sight. I'll take sickness away from the midst of you, and the number of your days you will fulfill. Now,
yes,
paragraph down, on a little bit further down, page 199. Then the Holy Spirit said, paraphrasing that New Testament language, I said, a new commandment I give you, that you love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, because you have what?
Love
one to another. That's John 13, 34 and 35. Listen, now, are you still there on 199?
Yes.
Look at Exodus 23, 25 and 26. It's there on the bottom. You shall serve the Lord your God, and he shall bless thy bread and thy water. And I will take sickness, we're on page 200 now, I will take sickness away from the midst of thee, and there shall nothing cast her young, nor be barren in thy land. The number of thy days I will fulfill. We could translate this verse in this way and do them no injustice. Keep my commandment of love. I will take sickness away from the midst of you, and the number of your days I will fulfill. If you would, somewhere write James 2:8. We've been given what kind of a law? James 2:8. Royal. This is for priestly people. Royal law. What is it? The law of love. We know the Ten Commandments. But Jesus said, I did not come to do away with the law. I come to fulfill it. And the fulfillment of it is to the church. Which law?
Love,
which is a fulfillment for all the others.
Yes, amen.
So he says this here. Then the Holy Spirit said to me, say to mother, tell Satan I'm walking in love now. Take your hands off my child. Now here, if you got your book, listen. You see, there are times you shouldn't lay hands on people for healing. In fact, if certain conditions are not met, you could lay hands on them until you wore every hair off their head. They wouldn't get a thing in the world except a bald head. Laying hands on people when they need to make an adjustment in their heart will only hinder their faith, because nothing will happen. Then he tells about arriving. He tells the lady to do that, and she does. She spins immediately, right? Now, go over to page 202. I'm going to just hit some high spots. We want to get to just a little bit more of this. Page 202. We'll start the top. Believers, if they figure out about love, believers would have to go outside the church, find someone to pray for, because everyone in the church would be healed.
Yes. Yes.
5 years later, these parents with the epileptic child visited one of our meetings in another state. By that time, the child was 8 years old. I asked him how the daughter was doing. She's been in perfect health. In fact, she has the highest IQ of anyone in her school. I asked them, in these 5-year period, has she ever had any symptoms? The mother said, twice. There were some little symptoms that showed up. What'd you do? I said. I just said, oh, no, you don't, Satan. I'm walking in love now, and our daughter was all right.
Amen.
So, if you would, go with me to Romans chapter 13, verse 7 and 8, please. Hallelujah. Do y'all have the Passion Translation? Okay. Romans 13, 7 and 8 in the Passion. It says in the Passion, Romans 13, 7, so it is your duty to pay all the taxes and fees that they require, and to respect those who are worthy of respect, honoring them accordingly. Verse 8, don't owe anything to anyone except your what?
Outstanding
debt to
love one another.
For the one who learns
to love
has fulfilled
every requirement of the law.
Now tell me the two laws that you know about from Romans 8. Not verse 1. There's therefore now no condemnation. Verse 2. Yes. There's two laws. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, and the law of
sin and death.
And we're going to read in Galatians 5 at the end of the list of the 9 fruits. When these things are in a believer and they're working against such, there is no law. Now, when we taught the honor class at LCPU, God had us, helped us see some things and taught this, that people thought that verse 7 and 8 meant you should never go into debt, which is not true. You should be led.
Yes. Amen.
This here is this. If I owe money, first thing is, I should know it. Second thing, I should pay it.
Yes. Amen.
But it says more than just money.
Yes.
If I owe you love,
yes,
I have to know it.
Yes, sir.
And if I know it,
you gotta pay it.
I have to pay it.
Amen.
Well, you don't know how they treated me. You don't know what you owe them.
Amen.
Most people think, they get mad at them. They talk about them.
Yeah. Yeah. Amen.
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 What do you owe them?
Love.
So, tell somebody, if I owe money, I should know it. I should pay it. If I owe taxes, I should know it. I should pay it.
If I owe love,
I should know it. And I should
pay it.
Okay. Go to Galatians 5:22, please. Most of these that you will pay these things to, you will have to do it by faith. You ever decided to be kind to somebody, and the kinder you get, the more mouthier they get?
Yes.
So what do you want to do? Don't answer that. But see, we thought Romans 13:7 was the only thing about it is just don't borrow money. If I owe it, I have to know it.
Yes.
And if I know I owe it,
I've
got to pay it. Do I owe you love?
Yes.
If you're a member of the body of Christ.
Yes.
You know, we was preaching this not too long ago, and one person says, like, whoo, glory to God, that person over there is not my neighbor. That word neighbor don't mean the person that lives next to you. You in Galatians 5? Let's look at 22 and 23, please. Whew. When do we start? 7:14. So we'll get through this quick as we can. We won't keep you late. Galatians 5:22 says, but the fruit of the Spirit, and I appreciate there's so many people that we have listen to over the years and follow that they said there's only one word for the word Spirit. So you don't know if that's human or the Holy. And they capitalized the S here and it made it sound like. And he said even some translations will say Holy Spirit. But he said it was the Holy Spirit's job to bring the characters of God with him when he came into your spirit, when you were born again. Made what we call being spiritually alive. Born again. But if I don't walk in love and it's not my job to mature it, it's the Holy Spirit's,
yes, sir.
Then it would be on him if I'm not getting it done.
Yes, sir.
But it must not be, it's capitalized, it must not be Holy Spirit, it must be my spirit.
Amen.
Okay. It's not his job to mature love. It was his job to bring the nine fruits of the characters of God. Right?
Yes, sir.
So the fruit of the Spirit is what?
Love.
Love. Y'all read them all to me.
Peace.
Joy. Peace. Now, question. How many of y'all have felt like you need peace in the midst of turmoil? And now, don't raise your hand on this one. Don't. How many of y'all have prayed, God, we need your peace? Don't raise your hand. See, we think we're lacking it when we've already been given it or have it.
Amen.
Okay. So let's read them again. Love. Now, read it.
Against such there is no law.
What law?
The song, law of sin and
death. Law of sin and death.
Yes, sir.
It can't touch you.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Go, please, when if you get that, if whatever you're writing down, wrote down, go to Job, and what if you can pull it up, Job 1. 5 through 10 in the Amplified. Job, verse 1, or I'm sorry, chapter 1, verse 5 through 10, Amplified. Everybody there? I mean, are you through writing? If you're just writing, take your time. I'm going to make a... While you're finishing up, I'm going to tell you something. Now, we were in, I think we were in Silsbee, Texas at this time. And we was at the end of the service, and we were getting ready to pray for folk, and a lady come up, And she said this. She said, Brother Ricky, I need God to heal my eyes today. And I said, okay. She was an old lady. And so I asked, I said, why? By the help of God. I said, why? And she said, this morning I was getting dressed. I had my glasses on the little counter in the bathroom, vanity. And I guess I hit them or something. And when I stepped on them. And she said, I don't have the money to buy another set. So I need God to heal my eyes. Now see, that sounds good. But the Lord, He's talking to me. He's trying to teach me.
Yes.
And He's talking to me and He's saying, why does she want me to heal her? He said it's fear-based. Because
yes,
she don't have the money for another pair. And He said, I cannot respond to fear-based prayers.
Amen.
Or fear-based confessions.
Yes.
I have not Amen. Given a spirit of fear. It Amen. Is of the enemy. Yes. Romans 8 says, when you and I got saved,
yes,
we were, how's it say it? Redeemed from the bondage of fear. Because we got another spirit.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
So He said, be kind to her. And then He told me and my wife to help her get her pair of glasses. So we was kind. We prayed. Very generic. God, thank you. Helping and things. He said, this is what He told me. He said, if she'd have said, I've wore glasses for years. This morning I broke them getting ready for church. I don't have the money for them. But you know what? I've been listening to the Word. The Word says, by the stripes of Jesus, I'm healed. I don't think I want to get glasses no more. I've got enough faith, I believe, going that I can get my eyes.
Yeah. Amen.
So would you just agree with me? He yeah. said, then we'd have had faith.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. And we could have prayed.
Yeah. Amen.
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 But we helped her get her glasses, mowed yards to do it. And I mean, no, we learned a valuable lesson.
Yes. Amen.
And she never knew. No need to embarrass nobody. I've done the same thing before. I've confessed stuff. This stuff won't touch me in Jesus' name. That's not a faith confession. That is so fear-based.
Amen.
A faith confession is related to the Scriptures.
Yes.
Lord, I thank you by the stripes of Jesus, I am healed. And Psalms 91 says, only with my eyes shall I behold goodness. It shall not come nigh my dwelling.
Amen.
That's a faith confession.
Yes. Amen.
Job 1:5. When the days of their feasting were over, Job sent for them to purify, hallow them, rose up early in the morning, offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned, cursed God, disowned God in their hearts. Thus did Job how often? All such times. He's going to church. He's offering sacrifices and praying.
Yes, sir.
And we'll show you in just a minute. In Job 3, he says, the thing that I feared.
Yes.
And he's sacrificing and praying based on fear.
Yes.
Fear.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
And all of this stuff that's trying to come into America or the world carries a spirit of fear.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Amen. Amen.
We're not. Levi, our youngest son, when he was a kid, they were playing basketball or something when he did the poison ivy. They's in the woods, and these one boy said something like, and I don't know if I got it exactly right, but this is basically the essence of it. They saw poison ivy, And they're like, oh, be careful. And Levi's like, I'm not allergic to that. Watch this. And he took it. And my wife, I don't think we ever got any pictures of him, did we? But his head swelled up big as a basketball. You wonder why a lot of Christians are all swole up.
Yeah. Yeah.
This stuff can't harm me and will go places that the Holy Ghost never told them to go. It's almost a pride deal, a defiant deal.
Yes, sir. Amen.
We go where we're led.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
And if we're led there, we are protected there.
Amen.
We do not let fear tell us where God wants us to go.
Amen.
We are led.
Yes.
Yes, but we're not prideful like, we'll go wherever we want to go. No, we'll go where God leads us to
Amen.
Go.
Amen.
6. Now there was a day when the sons, the angels of God came to present himself before the Lord, Satan, adversary, and accuser. Of course, that's Revelation 12:10. Also come with them. Verse 8. And the Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job? I really wish you would really work him over. No. If you study it and you've read any other translation, Satan had considered him.
Yes.
And we won't have time to go into it all, but he said, there is none like him on earth, a blameless, upright man, one who reverently fears God, abstains from, shuns evil, because it is wrong. Verse 9, then Satan answered the Lord, does Job reverently fear God for nothing? Verse 10, have you not, now you read this first line to me. I want a question. I have a question. How did Satan know? He's been around and around and around. And thus far, he cannot get in.
Yes.
This is known as a hedge.
Amen.
This is known as protection.
Yes.
You've conferred prosperity and happiness upon him and the work of his hands. His possessions have increased in the land. Right?
Yes, sir.
Now, go to 325. Now, we saw in verse 5, how often did he pray and do sacrifices? All the time. Okay, Job 3:25. Can we do this one in the King James? How many of y'all got your Bibles? Do you have, if you'll go back there in the King James, he's going to pull it up there. He has it. Look in your Bible at Job 3:25, please. And tell me if you have a number and in the margin it says H-E-B, Hebrew. Okay? What does the Hebrew say?
I feared a fear.
Yes, sir. That's what it says in the Hebrew.
Yes, sir.
I feared a specific thing. I feared a fear, and that fear I feared came.
Yeah.
Yes.
So, 25. For the thing which I greatly feared has come upon me, and that which I was afraid of is. Why did Job pray? Because he's afraid. Folks, we're not afraid of sickness and disease.
Amen.
We are led. We do what God tells us to do. We're not prideful. And just, you remember when John G. Lake was there and the plague broke out and they put that stuff in his hand? How many know? He was not tempting God.
He had a revelation. He said, sirs, he said, I know greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. And he said, that stuff will die because of him who's in me. Yes. He had revelation, not pride.
Yes. Amen.
And when they put it in his hand, he put it on the microscope, those viruses would die.
Yes.
So, in praying, what should be the basis of prayer? Fear or faith?
Faith.
Okay, I agree. What about faith confessions? Confession should be faith based. Fear based?
No, sir.
To make a statement, I'll never be broke again, is a good statement. But to make a statement that Jesus become poor, that I might be made rich, is better. Because now it's faith-based.
Amen.
To say Corona will never, COVID will never touch me, it's almost prideful.
Yes.
Now, to take the scripture and get revelation of by stripes I'm healed, then say, thank you, God. I'll walk in divine health all my days. But folks, it is connected to the love walk.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Go, if you would, to Galatians 5:6 in the Amplified. We'll just go a little bit more, and then we'll find a place to stop. Galatians 5:6, Amplified. It says, for if we are in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision counts for anything. Let me start over. For if we are in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision counts for anything. But only what?
Faith.
Now tell me. Activated. Energized.
Expressed.
How?
Working through love.
Activated. Energized. Expressed. Now you know why 1 Corinthians 13 says, though I have faith, then I can remove mountains. But my love's all goofed up.
Yes,
sir. It'll never be worth nothing.
Yes, sir.
Though I feed a whole nation that's poor, I don't get any reward at all for it if love is messed up.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Okay, go to Ephesians 4:27, please. Amplified and Message. We'll do the Amplified first. Ephesians 4:27, Amplified. Leave no such room or foothold for the devil. Give no opportunity to him. Right?
Yes, sir.
You have the message? Okay. Go ahead and be angry. You do well to be angry. Now listen, the message kind of helps it. But don't use your anger as what?
Fuel for revenge.
Don't stay angry. Don't
give the devil that kind of foothold in your life.
He's already been around the hedge of protection around and around, around your place.
Yes.
And so he sends your neighbor or kinfolk or somebody to say something crazy to you.
Yes, sir.
And he's looking for a crack in the wall.
Yes.
And if he can get you upset or become involved in the fight, he just found a gate.
Yes.
When he comes in, prayer and the name of Jesus cannot fix it. The only fix is repentance.
Yes, okay. Amen. Yes. Amen.
Don't give the devil a way to defeat you. Right? So, it's 7:30. That's probably enough. Let's stand up. Whew. We'll go back after this again in the morning. So, and later I thought, man, that was so easy to trip me up. But we've repented. And I repented and asked God to forgive us or forgive me. It's easier to walk in health than it is to hold a grudge and let sickness touch you and then have to recover and still repent.
Yes, sir.
It's easier to stay healthy.
Yes.
We had a good friend of ours. This was years and years ago. He was a good man. He helped us, looked after our kids, different things. He was a good friend, just no cowboy. But him and his brother had had a falling out for years, lived real close, never even would talk. Just mad at each other, never knew why, didn't ask. Then he become sick, and the first thing he did is he got saved, but then he wanted to make it right with his brother. But then he only lasted just a few weeks and he's gone. As you develop in your faith, we know the measure of faith that it can take for different projects. It takes more faith for different things.
Yes, sir.
If your faith is being stretched now to live, take care of the bills, and things like that, don't add a major stress or draw on your current faith. Ask for forgiveness now. Make it right with people now.
Yes, sir.
While everything is good.
Yes. Amen.
Amen. So, Father, we thank you for your helping us see these things. Father, we understand you love us. That's not a question. We know that. And we know that the devil is real. And we know that Jesus defeated him. But he is so looking for a way in, an opportunity. We will not give him a place. We will keep ourselves in the love of God, so that our faith is energized and activated, and our hope, the images, can enlarge, and our faith can give substance. And we thank you, just like that minister's, she was a wife but a minister, when she whirled and told the devil, take your hands off my child, and he had to because it was legal. But the times before, he was there legal. Now he was trespassing.
Yes.
So we thank you, Father, when we catch him and he's trespassing,
yes,
we know he will have to go.
Amen. Thank you.
So we give you all praise, all glory, and all honor for it.
Yes.
In the mighty name of Jesus. While heads are bowed and eyes are closed, if you're in this place and you're not born again, you're not saved, you know about God, but maybe you've never asked Jesus as your personal Savior. And tonight you would like to. By the uplifting of your hand, you would acknowledge you want to be born again, saved, I'm not asking you to join this church. I'm asking you to join the army of God, the family of God. Anyone at all, by uplifting hand, would say, please. That would be me. Pray for me, Brother Ricky. Anyone at all? Hallelujah. All right. I believe everyone's born again. Now, listen to this one. If you've held a grudge, it's time to let it go.
Amen.
Time to let it go. You say, well, Brother Ricky, you don't know what they've done to me. I don't. I don't know what they've done. But this one thing, my concern is this. It's for you. You can't hold a grudge and it hurt them.
Amen.
It will only hurt you. So by raising your hand, you'd say, that was me. I'm holding a grudge. But tonight, I'm letting it go. Anybody? All right. Okay. Hands, quite a few hands. So let's say this together as a group. Father God,
I ask you
to forgive me
and
cleanse
me
by the precious blood of Jesus. I release
this situation,
person,
thing,
and I ask you tonight,
by the power of the name of Jesus,
this thing is removed from me. It might try to come in my thought life. But I will not take the thought.
I will
resist the thought.
Because
tonight, January, whatever the date is, 28, 29? 29.
I forgave.
And I released it. In the mighty name of Jesus.
Amen.
Praise God.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There's